Amen. Young lady, God has a dream. God has a perfect plan for you. And some of you are this close.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Battling besetting sins. That is the topic of the message we will hear at the concluding part of this evening. In the first part of this message, Pastor Brian Grant identified for us what is meant by the term besetting sin as it is used in Scripture, and he spoke of some of the great dangers of this particular type of sin in the life of the believer. Although besetting sins by their very nature defy resolution, yet God's Word offers hope. Pastor Grant opens the door of hope to us this evening in the second part of his message entitled, Battling Besetting Sins. Once again, we invite you to keep your Bibles close at hand as you listen. Here again is Pastor Grant.
He was this close, and he almost blew it. God miraculously intervened. God intervened, came to Abimelech and said, "What do you think you are doing? For one, I've shut down everything in this place, but I'm here to tell you, God has not promised to always intervene. Young person, God will allow you to do what you want to do." One of the tragedies, you read the story of Israel and you read about this incredible temple the children of Israel had. And because of sin, the temple was destroyed. And years later, the temple was restored. But I want you to know, all the people who knew the old temple, here's what the Bible says. The glory of the second temple was nothing to be compared with the glory of the first temple. If you miss God's perfect plan for your life, there is a huge loss. But I'm glad. Thank God. The second temple had some glory. You see, despite all the mess you have done, the good news is that God has another plan. And he wants to talk to somebody, because some of you may have messed up plan one. Some of you have messed up plan two and plan three and plan four. But today, you can say, "God, please give me plan five. Because God, I'm coming your way. I'm turning. Oh, I'm praying for you, sir, young lady. I'm praying for you that this morning, when the invitation is given, you won't be so sophisticated so you can't move. But this morning, you'd say, 'God, I am coming your way. I am tired of sin and straying. And God, I am coming home.' God has a plan for you. Don't mess up by continuing on the path." Amen. Number four, besetting sins may not only cause you to miss God's perfect plan, besetting sins also bring personal judgment. Besetting sins bring personal judgment. The devil wants us to believe we can sin and get away with it. I read this passage for you before, and I want you to hold your notes, Genesis 20, but go to Galatians chapter 6, because if you don't have that marked yet, you need to have Galatians chapter 6 marked. You need to have it riveted in the back of your mind, because this is a very important verse of scripture. The principle that it gives is something that is transformational. It's transformational. If we really get this rooted in our lives, Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not what? Mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. I must tell you the truth. It burns my heart. It burns my heart when I see young people with so much promise miss God's plan. Young people, don't miss God's plan. Older folks, don't miss God's plan. God is saying to you here, did you mark it in your Bible? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, you say, oh, I'm glad I'm a woman. Whatever a person sows, that he, she will also reap. Listen, if you plant the good stuff, you see, sometimes we only look at it in the negative. If you plant sin, you're going to reap. But if you plant righteousness, oh, hallelujah, you're going to reap from that planting. And this is one of the reasons why it is time to stop being a bench-warming Christian. You see, some Christians feel the way to be a good Christian is to stop doing the bad stuff. But it's not just stopping the bad stuff. It's doing the good stuff. You see, you cannot operate in a vacuum. If you just stop the bad, guess what? Soon, you'll do the more bad. The objective is to replace. And this is why the Bible says what to think on. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There's some stuff we ought to be thinking on, and there's some stuff we ought to be doing that is righteous and godly. Charles Spurgeon said, God does not allow his children to sin successfully. Oh, how well put. So if you think you can keep sinning and get success, be a success from God's standpoint, think again. God will not allow his children to sin successfully. Amen. So how can we overcome besetting sins? Number one, stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. Look at Genesis chapter 20, verse number 12. Abraham said, but she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. You know, some people will stretch the truth as we listen. Abraham knew he was lying. Sometimes we Christians are satisfied with half-truths. But a half-truth is a total lie. Speak the truth and speak it ever, cost it what it will. He who hides the wrong he does the wrong thing still. He said, it's my half-sister. But look what else he said here in Genesis chapter 20, verse 10. Then Abimelech said to Abraham, the man is asking, Abraham, why did you do this? Hear Abraham in verse 11. Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place. Abraham is saying, why he's lying through his teeth. He's saying, I did it because I knew you were such ungodly people. Did you see that? I did it because you are so ungodly. The fear of God is not in this place. So, you know, sometimes Christians sin because they compare themselves with other folks. They look at the ungodly, they look at other Christians, and they say, well, I'm not as bad as... You ever thought that way? I'm not as bad as... I didn't do that. This is why the Bible says this. It says, if we compare ourselves against ourselves. Now, it doesn't mean comparing yourself against you. But if here we are in a group, if I compare myself against you, I would say I'm not wise. Because guess what? I can always find somebody who's doing worse in a particular area than I am. So the standard is not to find somebody who is doing worse. Amen? This morning in the Sunday school class, God gave us the standard, and he says, be ye what? Holy, because what? I am holy. Listen, the standard is the holiness of God. So stop making excuses. Oh, I wonder, what are your excuses? What have you been holding on to? Some people say, oh, it's a family thing, you know. We got a, oh, my family has a drinking problem. And you know, we have a smoking problem. You know, my family has always used weed. So what do you expect me to use? Nowadays, you counsel with young people, and sometimes it's almost like they're saying, Pastor, don't you realize it's 2017? Everybody's shacking up. So how do you expect me not to shack up? This is the new world. Is that your excuse?
In a moment, we'll rejoin Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message. But first, let me share a special gift offer from Living God's Way. We're happy to make available to our radio audience The Word for You Today, a special daily devotional designed to encourage your walk with Christ. This daily devotional is available free and postage paid on your request. You are also invited to attend our Bible Institute each Tuesday night at 6:45 p.m., For details about the 4 Bible courses available, please call our office at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. We look forward to hearing from you. And now, let's return to the conclusion of today's message.
God's standards have not changed. Amen? How can we overcome besetting sins? One, stop making excuses. But secondly, avoid situations which expose you to danger. Avoid situations which expose you to danger. It's interesting. The first time that Abraham ran into trouble was in Genesis 12, where he left to go to Egypt. Why is he always leaving to go into these dangerous places? He leaves to go to enemy territory, into Egypt. And then he has to say, by the way, when we get there, lie for me. And then he's doing it again. Is this practical? Does that happen in 2017? Do Christians sometimes sin because they expose themselves to dangerous situations? Or is it only when I was a teenager? Is it only when I was a teenager that sometimes young people hang out at the wrong places? You know, they park somewhere. That doesn't happen anymore. Or they go over somewhere. Avoid situations which expose you to danger. I don't have time to expand on that. But use it. Apply it to your own situation. Number 3, learn to deny yourself. Besetting sins are rooted in the love of me. Abraham was so interested in his safety, he didn't worry about the risk to his wife. And if we really take the time to look at what the challenges are, you can go down the list. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, if you check it out, it's because you are so focused on me, what I want, what makes me feel good, what makes me look good, what makes me avoid conflict, what makes me. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23, the Lord Jesus said to them all, if anyone wishes, Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23. We'll put it up on the board so you can see it as I read. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He must take up his cross daily and follow me. Here's what Jesus was saying. You have got to say no to the flesh and yes to pleasing God. Are you getting it? We have got to start learning to say no to the flesh and yes. Yes, God, I want to please you. That's what I'm about. So what have I said so far? To overcome besetting sins, we must stop making excuses. We must avoid these risky situations. We must learn to deny ourselves. And finally, and of greatest importance, we must confess and forsake sin. Look with me at what verse 13 reveals to us. It came to pass, here's Abraham talking, and he's answering Abimelech as to why he did it. He says, when God caused me to wander from my father's house. Listen, that's 25 years have gone. 25 years ago, when God caused me to leave my father's house, I said to my wife, this is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place, wherever we go, say of me, he is my brother. Abraham had set this lie up 25 years ago. And despite the drama in Egypt, he never changed the plan. Do you see it? 25 years of lying. All this drama in Egypt, and Abraham has not forsaken this sin. Abraham is continuing in the same path. Psalm 28 verse 13 tells us, he who covers his sin will not prosper. But whoever what? Confesses and what? Forsakes them will have mercy. Whoever confesses and forsakes them. Listen, we don't have time to look at this. But as you study 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 to 11, you will realize that true confession includes what the Bible calls godly sorrow. Did you hear what I said? True confession includes godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is an acute sense of sadness. We experience an acute sense of sadness that I feel because of the sin I have committed. Part of the problem is that we have never, many of us have never had godly sorrow. You see, there is a difference. Here's what Warren Wiersbe said. Warren Wiersbe said, a light-hearted admission of sin is not the same as a broken-hearted confession of sin. I want that to seep into our hearts. You see, there is a huge difference between being sorry for your sin and be truly confessing your sin. So I did this sin, the same sin I've been doing over and over, and I come before God and I say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me my sin. But that's different from what we see Peter doing.
Peter, the Bible said, had denied the Lord Jesus three times. And as Peter sat by the fireside, he heard the cock crow for the third time. And the Bible says that Peter left and he went out and he wept bitterly. And I need to ask you this morning, have you ever had that experience where you have come before God and in a broken and a contrite way, you have said, Oh God, I have sinned. God, I have hurt you. God, I am so sorry. Have you gotten to that place where there is this deep anguish and agony in your soul because of your sin? Listen, until you get there, there will be no victory. A light-hearted admission of sin is not the same as a broken-hearted confession of sin. People who remember their sins with pleasure and enjoy them again in their minds have never judged their sins or seen how sinful their sins really are. I've got to quit. Have you gotten there yet? Oh, do you know that there's some people who think they're okay with God, that they're saved, they're on the road to heaven, because they said this sinner's prayer, they met with somebody and they said, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. But they've never really had this brokenness. This godly sorrow, this true sorrow for all the sin I've committed, for my life of sin. Hey, perhaps you need to come this morning and say, God, I am really, really sorry for my sin. Save me. But perhaps there's somebody here. And you're saying, Brian, Brother Brian, I want victory. I want victory. And this morning, I'm going all the way. I'm going to confess. And I'm going to, with the help of the Spirit of God, I'm going to forsake my sin.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.